Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand, Pete Musto, and John Russell. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Susan Shand.
Lee Iacocca, a leader in the American automobile industry, died earlier this week in California. He was 94. Iacocca was the son of Italian immigrants. In his 32-year career, he helped launch some of the country's best-selling and most important vehicles. They included the Ford Escort, the Ford Mustang, and the minivan. But he will be remembered mostly as the businessman who saved the Chrysler Corporation and made it profitable again. In 1970, Iacocca became president of Ford Motor Company. He famously fought with Chairman Henry Ford II, who later called the young man conceited. Ford fired Iacocca in 1978. The following year, he became chairman of the Chrysler Corporation. The business was collapsing due to $5 billion of debt. Its manufacturing system was too large, and it only made big cars that the public did not want. Banks would not loan Iacocca money. So he worked with the United Auto Workers Union. Together, they persuaded the government to approve $1.5 billion in loan guarantees that permitted Chrysler and its workers to continue to make cars. Bud Liebler is a former Chrysler spokesman and once worked closely with Iacocca. Liebler said of his former colleague, "He went to Washington and made all these crazy promises. Then he delivered on them." Iacocca persuaded the unions to negotiate a lower salary. He closed some factories and made smaller cars. He spoke to the public in his TV advertisements. In them, he said, "If you can find a better car, buy it." Iacocca also admitted Chrysler had made mistakes, but said the company had changed. The plan worked. Chrysler made cars that were not too costly, did not use too much gas, and had space for 6 people. In 1983, Chrysler paid back its government loans with interest 7 years early. That made him a hero for many Americans. I'm Susan Shand.
Scientists say the amount of sea ice around Antarctica has decreased from a record high to a record low in only a few years. Sea ice is ice covering the ocean rather than land. Ice floating in the waters around the Antarctic continent started increasing in 1979. About the time satellite observations first started. The amount of Antarctic sea ice reached a record high in 2014. But a study of data gathered by satellites from the United States Space Agency, NASA, showed something different 3 years later. The data suggested that the yearly average amount of Antarctic sea ice reached its lowest level. Scientists released the findings on July 1st in a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. National Snow and Ice Data Center Director Mark Serez said that in recent years, things have been crazy. He told the Associated Press the quickly decreasing ice levels are a white-knuckle ride. Serez and other experts said they do not know what has caused the loss of ice. It could be a natural change or a result of rising world temperatures caused by human activity. But the fact that a change this big can happen in such a short time should be viewed as an indication that the Earth has the potential for significant and rapid change, said University of Colorado ice scientist Waleed Abdelati. In the polar areas, sea ice levels increase during the winter and shrink in the summer. Around Antarctica, sea ice covered an average area of 12.8 million square kilometers in 2014. But the study shows that by 2017, only 10.7 million square kilometers of sea was covered by ice. The difference represents an area bigger than the size of Mexico. Claire Parkinson is the NASA climate scientist who wrote the report. She says losing that much sea ice in just 3 years is pretty incredible and faster than anything scientists have seen before. Antarctic sea ice increased slightly in 2018. Although sea ice is expanding during the winter in Antarctica, levels in May and June of this year were the lowest on record, the Ice Data Center reported. Antarctica's temperatures are generally lower than those near the North Pole. In the north, the Arctic is a floating collection of ice on an ocean surrounded by land. Antarctica in the south is just the opposite, with land surrounded by an ocean. That causes the ice to develop much farther out, Parkinson said. When Antarctic sea ice was expanding, scientists pointed to changes in wind and air pressure, or the movements of the ocean. They also considered natural ongoing changes in the climate. Now, some of those explanations may need to be reconsidered, making what happens next a mystery, Parkinson said. I'm Pete Musto.
In the early 1970s, Motown Records released the Marvin Gaye song, What's Going On? The song asks for a peaceful solution to social problems. What's Going On is very famous in the United States. It appears in fourth place on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Here are a few of the lines from the song.
Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Today, we will show you how this famous song can teach you about English grammar. Specifically, it can show you how English speakers use phrasal verbs. First, we begin with some definitions.
Phrasal verbs have two or more words, verbs and particles. Particles are short words, such as on, over, and in. Phrasal verbs have an idiomatic meaning. In other words, the verb and particle together mean something different than what the individual words suggest. So, for example, the phrasal verb find out has the verb find and the particle out. However, the term find out means to discover. English speakers use many phrasal verbs, perhaps thousands. Many of these verbs have two or more meanings. Luckily, there is hope. You do not need to learn all of them. Some phrasal verbs are fairly common. And even when phrasal verbs have multiple meanings, English speakers often use one meaning more than the others. Today, we will talk about three of the most common phrasal verbs. All of them have the verb go. Melody Garnier and Norbert Schmidt are language experts. They created a list called the FAVE list, which they say ranks the most commonly used phrasal verbs. Among the 10 most frequently used phrasal verbs, 3 have the verb go. We will look at each one in turn.
The most common, according to Garnier and Schmidt, is the phrasal verb go on. Go on can have several meanings, but the most common one is happen or take place. At the beginning of this report, you heard part of the Marvin Gaye song, What's Going On? Now, you know that Gaye could have sung, What's Happening? Or What is Taking Place? You might hear the words go on in the news or when two people are talking to each other. For example, you might hear someone talking about a debate going on in a political party.
Another common phrasal verb is go out. It came in number 8 on Garnier and Schmidt's FAVE list. When English speakers use go out, they often mean to leave a place to go to a social event. For example, American teenagers might make plans to go out on Friday night. They might make plans to go out for dinner or go out to the movies. Teenagers might also talk about what they did over the weekend. So, a person might say, I went out with friends on Friday night. This is the past tense form of go out.
Our final phrasal verb for today is go back. The FAVE list ranks this at number 5 on the list of most commonly used phrasal verbs. When English speakers use go back, they almost always mean to return to a place, time, activity, or a subject they talked about earlier. Here is an example from the American film Happy Gilmore. In the movie, people try to make the villain, Shooter McGavin, lose a golf game by distracting him. Here is what he says.
Go back to your shanties.
Here, Shooter McGavin is telling others to return to their homes. Shanty is a term for a small, poorly built shelter. McGavin believes that all the people who are at the golf match are poor and should not be there. Now you can understand why he is the villain in the film.
Learning and using phrasal verbs can be difficult, but you can do it. Try studying small numbers of phrasal verbs. Keep note of the different meanings and try using them in different sentences. But after all of your hard work, be sure to go out and have fun.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We look back at some of the social issues and cultural changes in America in the 1970s and 80s. In some ways, the 1980s seemed like the opposite of the 1960s. The 60s were years of protest for social justice and change. Many Americans demonstrated against the Vietnam War. Blacks demonstrated for civil rights. Women demonstrated for equality. Many people welcomed new social programs created by the government. By the 1980s, however, many people seemed more concerned with themselves than with helping society. To them, success was measured mainly by how much money a person made. People wanted to live the good life, and that took money. The changes started to become evident during the 1970s. For a while, these years brought a continuation of the social experiments and struggles of the 60s. But then, people began to see signs of what society would be like in the 80s. There were a number of reasons for this change. One reason was the end to America's military involvement in Vietnam after years of war. Another was the progress of civil rights activists and the women's movement toward many of their goals. A third reason was the economy. During the 1970s, the United States suffered a recession. Interest rates and inflation were high. A shortage of imported oil as a result of tensions in the Middle East only added to the problems. As the 1970s went on, many Americans became tired of economic struggle. They also became tired of social struggle. They had been working together for common interests. Now, many wanted to spend more time on their own interests. This change appeared in many parts of society. It affected popular culture, education, and politics.
Let me hear your idea again.
Okay, I want us to watch Jack Lemmon and a group of famous scientists discuss pollution and ecology on Channel 13.
Good. And I want to watch football highlights on Channel 2. Now, guess what's going to happen?
One of the most popular television programs of that time was a comedy series that often dealt with politics and serious social issues. The show was called All in the Family. The family was led by a factory worker named Archie Bunker. Carol O'Connor played Archie, and Jean Stapleton played his wife, Edith. The Bunkers lived in a working-class neighborhood in the Queens borough of New York City. Archie represented the struggles of the blue-collar working man against the social changes in America. He loved his country and was socially conservative in the extreme.
What about John Wayne? Before you say anything, let me warn you. When you're talking about the Duke, we ain't just talking about an actor. You're talking about the spirit that made America great.
Are you kidding?
His opinions on subjects like race and women's equality were always good for an argument with his liberal daughter and even more liberal son-in-law.
Good, I can mail my letter today and it'll get to Washington by Monday.
Washington? Are you writing to Washington?
That's right. Michael wrote the president.
You write to the president about what?
All the things we've been talking about. The pollution of our air, the pollution of our water, the way us housewives have no protection from foods without nutrition, how they make products with harmful things in them. Like, you saw what happened to Michael from that shirt.
You, Michael Stivnik, meathead, you have the nerve to write to the President of the United States about your rash?
Edith would always try to make peace.
Maybe he knows a good skin man.
Monday, Monday.
another popular program, Happy Days, about family life in the 1950s, offered an escape from the social issues of the day.
Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Seems so right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
Music also changed. In the 1960s, folk music was popular. Many of those folk songs were about social issues. But in the 1970s, there was hard rock and punk.
Here's Wonder Mike, Hank, and Master G, the Sugar Hill Gang.
And in 1979, a group called the Sugar Hill Gang brought rap music to national attention with a hit called Rapper's Delight.
And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock.
In bookstores, the growing number of self-help books offered another sign of social change. These books advised people about ways to make themselves happier. One of the most popular self-help books was I'm Okay, You're Okay by Dr. Thomas A. Harris. It was published in 1969 and led the way for many other popular psychology books throughout the 70s. Politically, the United States went through several changes during the 1970s. For most of the 60s, the nation was governed by liberal democratic administrations. Then, in 1968, a conservative Republican, Richard Nixon, was elected president. Nixon won a second term 4 years later, but had to resign in 1974 because of the Watergate scandal. Nixon's vice president, Gerald Ford, took his place. 2 years later, Ford was defeated by Jimmy Carter, a Democrat who, until then, was little known nationally. The election showed that Americans were angry with the Republican Party because of Watergate, but they soon became unhappy with President Carter. They blamed him for failing to improve the economy and for failing to end a crisis involving American hostages in Iran. He lost his re-election campaign to Ronald Reagan.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Reagan, a Republican, won two terms and led the nation during most of the 1980s. For many people, the Reagan years offered a renewed sense of economic opportunity. Reagan reduced taxes, which increased his popularity. But the national debt grew as he raised military spending to put pressure on the Soviet Union. The self-centeredness of many people in the 70s and 80s gave rise to terms like the me generation. And there was the rise of yuppies, young urban professionals remaking older neighborhoods in cities, often displacing poorer people. Popular entertainment at that time was often about financial success.
Premiering Sunday, April 2nd, Dallas, where money buys power and passion breeds conflict.
Dallas was a TV drama about a Texas oil family with more money and more problems than they knew what to do with. It became a hit not just in the United States, but around the world. Actor Larry Hagman played J.R.
Well, your daddy lacked the killer instinct. He forgave those who transgressed against him. People just weren't afraid of him. And he overlooked old J.R.'s golden rules.
And what might they be?
Don't forgive and don't forget. And do unto others before they do unto you. And most especially, keep your eye on your friends, because your enemies will take care of themselves. Oh, and one other thing. The oil business is a little bit like a poker game. It's good to get caught bluffing early on, because after that, somebody's going to call you when you got a winning hand.
Dynasty was another popular series about rich people behaving badly. One of its stars was veteran actor John Forsythe.
Those banks are going to find out that they've got more than they can handle. Denver Carrington is Blake Carrington. And they'll come begging to me to run that company again. I know they will. And I'll make them get down on their knees when they come begging.
There was also Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, a series about real-life wealthy people, hosted by Robin Leach.
Our bustling capital city combines the chic with the freak, the old guard with the avant-garde. So let's go upper deck with a couple of my good friends and run away with the rich and famous.
And at the movie theater, there was the 1987 film Wall Street.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
Michael Douglas played a character named Gordon Gekko, who earns his wealth by raiding companies and illegally trading on inside information.
Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
Good triumphed over evil in the Rambo action films starring Sylvester Stallone. He played a troubled hero who had fought in Vietnam. The films were violent, but they represented a more positive view than society had shown in the past toward veterans of that unpopular war. In the 1980s, people came to fear a new disease that could be spread by sex or blood. It was the rise of the AIDS epidemic. At the same time, a new drug, crack cocaine, started a wave of violence in American cities. Technology was also on the rise.
You don't have to be a genius to use a computer, but Computerland show you how easy it is to manage your own small business or home finances with the Atari 800. Record keeping, information, communication, and a world of new ideas from Atari.
Personal computers appeared in more and more offices, schools, and homes. The 1980s brought stardom to young entertainer Michael Jackson. And no history of the 80s would be complete without noting the rise of music television, better known as MTV.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and you're too free. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.